In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. We are on Lesson 152, The Seal of the Confessional. We have a picture, it's a diptych, a priest studying, and that other picture shows the priest in prayer on a prie-dieu. The caption reads, number one, before man is ordained priest and permitted to hear confessions, he must go through a long period of careful study and preparation. The present rule is to have a four-year preparatory course after the intermediate course, 3 or at least 2 years of philosophy and 4 years of theology, canon law, ecclesiastical history, and sacred scripture. This long and detailed preparation would usually not attract a low class of men. The second picture. After one is ordained priest, he is continually reminded of his duties, not only by his superiors, but by his daily meditation and prayer. Every priest is obliged to say the breviary every day. These spiritual duties bring down the grace of God on the priest and serve to strengthen him to be faithful to his sacred duties, one of the most important being to keep the seal of the confession, the sacramental secret. What is the seal of confession? It is the most solemn obligation of a priest to keep secret what has been revealed to him in confession. The priest may not break the seal of confession even to save his own life or to avert a great calamity. He must act as if he had not heard anything in confession. This is why a sense of shame or fear of telling our sins should never lead us to conceal mortal sins in confession. Towards the end of the 14th century, Wenceslaus, king of Bohemia, ordered St. John Nepomucen to be drowned in the river Moldau. The king had tried to make the saint reveal to him what the queen had said in confession, and the saint had firmly refused, in spite of inducements and threats. Hundreds of years later, after the process of canonization, the saint's tongue was found incorrupt and looked like a living tongue. The seal of confession must be observed even in a court of justice, for the divine law is higher than human law. In the beginning of the 19th century, a Jesuit priest of New York, Father Coleman, was called into court to testify. A couple were on trial for having received stolen goods. Father Coleman was supposed to have knowledge of the matter through the confessional, for he had restored the stolen goods to the rightful owner. At court, the priest refused to testify and was thereupon tried for contempt of court. However, he was not punished, and soon after, a New York law was passed exempting priests from revealing in court any knowledge obtained in confession. Such a law, nevertheless, is far from universal, and the position of a priest who refuses to reveal confessional matter in a court of law is not secure. It would be a mortal sin for a priest to divulge even the venial sin of a person which he knew through confession. The penalty for violating the seal of confession is excommunication reserved to the Pope, besides severe ecclesiastical penalties. From time to time we hear of priests who apostatize, but never has anyone fallen so low as to break the seal of confession. This incident happened in France during medieval times. The chaplain of a castle one night heard a knock at his door, and opening it saw a man who said that he wished to go to confession. The chaplain heard the confession, during which the man revealed that the same night he was to lead an assault against the castle, having been chosen to execute a plot. The chaplain tried to dissuade him, but in vain. Absolution having been denied him, the man departed. The chaplain passed the night in an agony of dread. However, he remained at the castle and told no one of what he had heard in the confessional, but prepared himself for death. At dawn, he heard a knock and admitted the man of the night before. The man said, "I wish to be convinced that priests were really observe the seal of the confessional, for I am a great sinner. All night I watched to see whether you would inform others or leave the castle to save yourself. Now I no longer doubt the secrecy of the confessional, and I want to confess all my wicked deeds." The penitent, however, may give the priest permission to make use of what he has revealed in confession. In that case, the priest may do so, although he is advised to be most careful in order to prevent unjust accusation concerning the secrecy of the confessional. Enemies of the Church have constantly tried to attack the seal of confession, to break this rule of the Church. So far, by the grace of God who watches over His Church, these enemies have failed. Are penitents bound by the seal of confession? Penitents are in no way bound by the seal of confession, but they are advised to refrain from talking about what the priest tells them in the confessional. Penitents should avoid speaking about the advice given, the penance, etc. One reason for this is that if we misunderstand or misrepresent what the priest told us, he has no way of defending himself. Besides, each penitent is different from the others. Advice or penance given by a confessor to one may not be good for another, just as a doctor prescribes different medicines for his patients. If we overhear something being told in the confessional, we are strictly bound to secrecy. Are we free to choose our confessor? Yes, we are absolutely free to choose the confessor we like. It is advisable to have a regular confessor. In this way, he becomes well acquainted with our character and state of conscience. He is thus enabled to direct us better, to give us more effective spiritual advice and instruction. A confessor is like a physician. If a sick man consults a different physician every week and follows the directions of none, he cannot expect much improvement in his health. Similarly, a penitent who moves from one confessor to another can hardly get the advice he needs. We should choose a skilled confessor and follow his directions faithfully. However, for the peace of our conscience, we should not hesitate to change confessors. We should not become so attached to one as to be unable to confess to another priest. If we change confessors, we should never without necessity mention to the new one what our old confessors advised us. It might work an injustice to the previous confessor, who cannot defend himself. Some conceal mortal sins in confession out of a sense of shame before their ordinary confessor. Such persons should go and confess to another priest. They should also remember that the priest who represents Christ himself is bound by the seal of confession, never to reveal anything told him in the confessional. Those who are ashamed to confess to any priest must remember that one day they will have their sins revealed to the eternal confusion before all mankind. Quote, "I will show thy nakedness to the nations and thy shame to kingdoms." Is it not better to reveal our sins now to only one man, who need not know the penitent, and is furthermore bound by the sacramental secret? Is it not better to confess them now to the priest than to burn in hell for all eternity? Moreover, the priest is ready to receive penitents kindly. It is a joy of the priesthood to have penitents make sincere confessions and to show a firm determination to be converted from sin. God himself said, "There will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 just who have no need of repentance." That concludes the reading for this evening. Do you have any questions or comments? Again, it seems pretty straightforward. The priest is bound to secrecy. Those in the confession, or those who overhear the confession, are bound to the same secrecy as the priest. It is wise for us not to reveal what we have heard in the confessional from the priest, because the priest cannot defend himself. And it reminds me of something Bishop Lewis mentioned, that he once had a penitent who said that his previous confession, the priest had told him something, and Bishop Lewis said that was not quite right, that priest has made a mistake, and he should tell that priest the next time he's in the confessional that Father Lewis did not agree with his statement. And the penitent said, but it was you. You're the one who gave me this advice. So it very often happens that the priest is misunderstood or taken out of context. And before we go accusing the priest to another, we should allow that priest a chance to correct himself, or to correct the penitent any misunderstanding there. The priest is human, therefore, you know, we can't expect perfection from him, but at the same time, as was pointed out in this lesson, he has studied a lot. He spends a lot of time in prayer, and we should conclude that it is not really the priest, but it is God speaking to us. And if the priest is cooperating with the grace of God, we will hear those words that we need to hear. But it's not just the priest cooperating with the grace of God. The penitent needs to be cooperating with the grace of God for the Holy Ghost to speak to him. There are many examples that are offered to priests that after having preached and they've thought they've not done very well, that people come and praise him. That was the best sermon I've ever heard. And what it boils down to is that we will hear what we need to hear. If we're listening, if we're cooperating with the grace of God, every sermon is meant for us. I've been accused, jokingly, that I must have some kind of camera hidden or spying device hidden in people's homes because I preach just on what has happened in their homes, and how did I know that this is what they needed to hear? I didn't, but the Holy Ghost did. And my answer to most people, if the shoe fits, then wear it. But I think what actually is transpiring is that the Holy Ghost is working within us, both in the priest to direct him to speak of things that the people need to hear. And that is actually a prayer that I make before preaching. But it is also the grace of the people cooperating with the grace of God. And so it is not the priest who's giving us the good advice. It is actually Christ who is speaking through that priest. And we have a note here. Yes, that is wonderful to think that it is really Christ himself that we are confessing to. Thank you. Very good. And so if we have a question, you know, again, if we could arrange our confession so that we're not pushed for time, we should not hesitate to ask the priest for follow-ups or advice in specific areas. But sometimes there is really no advice to give, or it is the same advice over and over that the priest gives to the penitent. We need to understand that this is what we must do. The same thing he told us in the last confession, if we're confessing the same sins again, we still need to do those things. We need to work on improving our spiritual life, our prayer life, whatever the directions are, they're pretty much the same. And again, if we need something to pray for, usually in the penance, the priest will give us an intention or something to pray for. Remind people, I can think of a lot of intentions for you to pray for. You know, the poor souls in purgatory, vocations to the priesthood, vocations to the religious life, for the glory of God in heaven, for the increase of the church numerically, to improve the church in our day, to save more souls. You know, we can have an endless list of things to pray for, but I think actually in praying for others, it benefits us more than if we sit down or kneel down and pray for ourselves. I truly believe what the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi suggests to us, that it is in giving that we receive. And truly, when we pray for others, we are giving, we are concerned about their welfare, spiritual welfare, physical welfare, whatever it may be. But in putting ourselves out there for someone else, we receive the greatest graces, the greatest benefits. That's not to suggest that we should not pray for ourselves, because we should ask God for the graces that we need and thank Him for the graces we've already received. But in the confessional, it is Christ who is admonishing us. And if the human priest there doesn't say anything, or you don't think he has said it correctly, you need to excuse him, but look to Christ. And if things don't set right or sound right, maybe you need to think about them a little bit, and perhaps you have misunderstood, or the priest has even misspoke. And I'm not going to say that's out of the realm of possibility, because in sermons I've been forced to go back and listen to the recording and say, oh, that's not what I meant to say, but that should be redacted, retracted, whatever we need to do to get that corrected. But the priest is human, but it is that priest is being guided and directed by the Holy Ghost, and he is sitting there in the place of Christ. So the priest is called the another Christ, an alter Christus, not only because of the sacrifice of the Mass and the power that he has been given to confect transubstantiation, but he also, in the administration of the sacraments, he does not administer in his own name, but truly in the name of Christ. And so it is Christ who gives us absolution and forgives us our sins. Can't think of really anything. The examples given, you know, the state of the secrecy, the priest, eternal salvation is bound up with keeping that secrecy. So it is a very serious matter for the priest and for the church. And so the laity should not take that lightly or try to abuse it, as we see that many anti-Catholics want to do. But we should really pray for our priests that they will continue to cooperate with the grace of God and to overcome the attacks, I guess, of so many devils, so many people cooperating with the devils, trying to get them to destroy their vocation to the priesthood. I shall end tonight then with our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.